Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
Somebody look at your neighbor. I ended up watching a football game, instead of being English, before this next week. And a matter of fact, I heard something else yesterday, and I'm going to be honest. If you got a Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I wrote something last night because of the football game I saw yesterday. Now, if you're not a football person, trust me, I got this. But I got to let you know, I wrote an entire sermon that will only be preached one time. And I preached it. This will be the fourth time I preach it today. And it's come out different every time. And I even have to have notes. But my whole sermon, I got to give you the title before we even start reading 2 Kings chapter 5. The title of my sermon, I got to do this right. The title of my sermon today, it's coming home. Go ahead, just stand up and start singing it. Sing it. All right, good. Sit down. If you're from Sweden, you're not singing. If you're from America, you had to pick another team anyway. That's not funny. The title of my sermon is simply, It's Coming Home. I don't think y'all ready for this, but hey, if you're new to and you haven't seen me before, like Pastor said, I'm Uncle Reggie. And England is like my second home now. I love England. I love fish and chips. And my sermon today is simple, because when God lays something on your heart, you just got to do it. You got to do it. And literally all night last night, it's coming home, it's coming home, coming. Because you don't understand, I'm staying downtown. At 10 at night, it's coming home. 1:30 this morning, you know that dude drunk, he was slurring every word, but I understood the melody. I got it, all right? And I'm just like, so I figured, let's preach it. Because all week, you're going to hear this. But after now, it's going to have a whole different meaning for you. Somebody touch your neighbor right now and say, I got to talk to you today. Somebody touch the person behind you and say, hey, I got to talk to you too, all right? Now, some of y'all looking at me like, why are we doing this? Because I'm black, I'm from America, and that's how black preachers roll, all right? Now listen, I'm trying to be as calm as I can, but I might as well just, you could take a brother out of his country. Y'all saw it at the wedding about a month ago. They gave one black American the microphone. He lit it up, y'all. Yeah. Even the vicar behind him had to shake his head a couple of times. Y'all didn't see it. We knew him. When they go, please welcome him, we're, oh, here it is. We were texting other black Americans, turn on the TV, bro. It's about to go down in London. I'm just saying. If you haven't been with black preachers, that's what's about to happen up in here. 2 Kings chapter 5. All I'm doing is telling you a Bible story, but remember the title. It's coming home. Are y'all ready? I don't think so. I got nowhere else to go. Here we go. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He, Naaman, was a great man. Everybody say a great man. He was great in the sight of his master, highly regarded. Say, highly regarded. Because through him, You notice it's not through an army. It's not through soldiers. It's through him, through him. One brother, one man, through him. The Lord had given victory to Aram, and he was a valiant soldier. Everybody say, valiant soldier. But, there's always a but. He had leprosy. Let me explain. This dude was off the chain. He was straight up the man. When he walked down the street, other men looked and went, I wish I could be him. When he walked down the street, women were like, I could have a spot of tea with that brother any day. Is that how y'all do that? Never mind, I'm just saying. When he walked down the street, even his own king was like, I love you. But he had leprosy. Leprosy would be our cancer, except backwards. You see, cancer, unless you know somebody has it, you would never know. Because a lot of time, cancer, and it does this from the inside out, it eats its way. But back then, leprosy was the opposite. It ate the flesh from the outside in. It literally killed your skin. Your skin, your flesh would rotten and fall off. So this man who was awesome, incredible, amazing, a warrior, a champion, a legend, a breathing man, he would be on a box of Wheaties. Y'all don't even know how proud to have that. But that's what he would do. But underneath the armor, underneath the glitter, underneath the, all the great stuff, he had leprosy. He was dying. He hid it from everybody. Nobody could see it. The only place he could not hide was when he went home. Look at verse 2. Are y'all with me? Say, I'm with you. Touch your neighbor and say, it's coming home. Verse number 2, it says this. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife. So in verse 1, we see the warrior, the champion, the man, the legend. And he has leprosy. In verse 2, we meet a little girl who was living in her own town, in her own country, with her own people. And all of a sudden, these dudes come into her town and they kidnap her. They take her as a slave. Now she's living where she doesn't want to live, doing what she doesn't want to do, being what she doesn't want to be. She didn't ask to be hurt. She didn't ask to be taken. She didn't ask for this stuff to happen, but it happened. There's somebody here tonight. You didn't ask to be sick. You didn't ask to be from a broken home. You didn't ask for this situation to happen, but it did. Hear me out right now. God did not put you in the situation that you're in to leave you alone. God did not let this happen in you to leave you hurting. He instead let this happen so that you can see the hand of God in your life, the hope of God in your situation. He will get you through this. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, man, he does sound like that dude that was at the wedding. Now touch your other neighbor and say, it's coming home. Come on, touch somebody and say, it's coming home. Are y'all okay in the balcony? Everybody all right up there? Y'all okay in the back, in the floor? Y'all good? Some of y'all look scared. Don't be scared. They kept my gun at the airport. It's all good. No, I left it at home. Say, it's coming home. Are y'all with me tonight? Can I go a little further? Can I unpackage this story for you? Now, some of you heard this story. You're like, man, I ain't never heard it. You've already messed me up. I know. But I've just started. You know what this man could have done? This man could have hid his hurt, hid his messed up, dying flesh. But something happened. What happened? They kidnapped the right girl. Y'all don't get it, do you? If they had never kidnapped this girl, this story never would have been in the Bible. They did something wrong, and God is about to turn it into something right. You think it's a hurt. It may look like, it may even feel like a hurt. But if you never had pain, you wouldn't know you were sick. Sometimes pain can end up being the thing that saves you. I have a friend. His son has a disease where he cannot feel pain. Literally cannot feel pain. There are certain things his boy cannot do. Every day when his son comes home from school, they literally check his whole body for cuts, bruises, anything could have happened on the playground, anything. Because his tolerance of pain is so huge, he could break something and never even know it. Because he can't feel that. Some of you are like, I wish that was me. I'd love to be like that. Or would you? You see, for some reason, we think pain is a negative when actually it's a positive. Oh, dude, this sermon's going where I never thought it would. I haven't even, this is the fourth time I preach this today. And I'm taking it on a whole nother thing. So I don't know where you're from. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what happened to you. You may already be putting up your wall going, you ain't got nothing wrong. We can't believe you're preaching it. What gives you the right to come from America? Hey, shut up. You in the finals. We ain't never been as far as you are. That's another sermon right there. What I'm trying to tell you is this. God might have brought you where you're at to make you what you should be. Thank you, bro. I got one guy who got that. So watch this. We have a man who has leprosy. We have a woman who was kidnapped. Now look, verse number 3. Because here's the deal. This little maid, she saw the warrior without his armor. See, he had to take it off, the armor. The smell of the rotting flesh that he had to be smelled by someone. It just happened to be smelled by a slave. Not just a slave, the right one. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. If you're with me, say yeah. If you're with me, say, oh yeah. She, the girl who was a slave, said to her mistress, if only my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, there it is. Watch this. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl said from Israel has said. Verse 5, by all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Verse 6. The letter that he took from the king to the king of Israel said this. With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. That's what the king read, the king of Israel. The king of Israel reads this letter. Oh, watch this. Verse 7. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me? Verse 8, then Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his robe. He sent him this message. Why you tear your robe? Do y'all like that? I like that, dog. That tells you right there what kind of man, if you a man or a woman of God, that line right there should tell you your attitude toward anything that happens on the planet Earth. It should not faze you. It should not worry you. It should not, because you need to know he holds you in the palm of his hand. If you make your bed in hell, he will come and get you. You are the apple of his eye. You're the one that he desires. You're everything to him. Don't let a circumstance on this planet dictate who you are to him. Listen to me. God is never absent. He's never missed a day of school. Apathy's not in his vocabulary. He's got you. All you got to do is trust him and make the devil mad that you ain't worried. Man, I'm feeling this really good right now. This is a good sermon. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody in this room, you need to take hold of the words that are coming out of my mouth. Not because it's Reggie, because Reggie died at 4:30 this morning. When he got on his knees and said, Jesus, one more time, use me. One more time, speak through me. One more time, let somebody who's hurting today find hope. Let somebody wake up Monday different than they went to bed Sunday because you used your servant to help them get to where they need to be in you. Let them know that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Let them know they can make it through the hurt. Let them know before the doctor even gives them the result, they have faith in you because you will cancer no matter what. You'll get them through no matter what. You'll be there no matter what. Let them feel your presence. That's what I prayed this morning for everybody in this room and in the last three sessions that I did today. Because you come to Hillsong, you work a whole week in one day. That's why I love this place. Listen to me. The prophet knew what he had to do. He knew exactly. So the reason why he said to the king, why you tear your robe? He's pretty much saying to the king, don't you know that God got this? I love it. So they sent Naaman, verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha. Elisha sent out a messenger and said to him, go, wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. That's easy, right? There's a Jordan called the Jordan River. Wash yourself seven times. That means go under and up seven times, seven times, seven times, and your skin will be fine. You'll be fine. Verse 11, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would have surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord, his God, and touch my spots and cure me of my leprosy. Now, I stop right there. So many times we want God to do something for us, but we want him to do it the way we want him to. Y'all can't put God in a box like that. Be still and know that he is God. He said, trust in me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not on your terms, his terms. You ain't God. And if you think you God, you in trouble. Are y'all with me? Say yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, it's coming home. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's coming home. I'm going to tell y'all right now, all week you're going to hear this because I know. And after Wednesday night, you're going to hear it even more. And this time next Sunday, you'll be the champions of the world. Maybe. I had to throw that in because y'all like, he's a prophet. It's true. I'm putting a bet down. Don't do it. Oh, man. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Could not just wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and he went off angry. The warrior's angry. He's mad. And he still got leprosy. Why are you getting mad when you still hurt? But dude, here we go. Guess who we're going back to? The girl that was kidnapped. The girl that was taken from her home. The girl that should be angry. She shouldn't care about this man. He's the reason why she's in a land that she don't belong in. But guess this, verse 13. Naaman's servant went to him and said, Father. Why is she calling him father? He kidnapped her and he's father. You know what she decided? It's not my life anyway. I belong to God. He belongs to me. If he wants me to be kidnapped, I'll be kidnapped. If he wants me to be a slave, I'll be a slave. But I'll proclaim his glory wherever I can. And because this little servant who was kidnapped, who didn't want to be kidnapped, who became a slave, who didn't want to be a slave, because she still believed and trusted God, thousands and thousands of years later, we're still talking about her. And she's about to help you. She said, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleansed? So he went down. I like this. And he dipped himself in the Jordan River seven times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Wow. A simple Bible story. But can I ask you today, would you dip seven times? Would you dip seven times? Would you go down and up seven different times? You notice he had to do it all seven times. Could you imagine first time? This is stupid. Second time, dumb river. Third time, smell like cart. Fourth time, this is nasty. Fifth time, water's kind of warm. Sixth time, I need some shampoo. Seventh time, oh my goodness. God won't just restore you. It'll make it better than it was before you even got hurt. I'm gonna give you a line. You ready? Write this down. In this whole God-fearing, God-loving, in this whole Jesus faith movement that you're in, there's an ingredient that you need to have. You ready? Here's the ingredient. Obedience. Obedience is the key. Obedience is the ingredient. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in foster care my entire life. I didn't have a last name for a few years. In school, roll call, everybody had two names, the first and the last. All I had was a first. I should have known something was up. My mom slept with a man to get food for my brother and my two sisters. My mom kept my brother and my sisters but gave me away. She said I was a mistake. I should have never been born. Highly suicidal. I'm not suicidal no more. You know why? Because I dipped seven times. I'm not worried about where I'm from. You know why? Because I dipped seven times. My past is my history, but my future is my destiny because I dipped seven times. You know what I know? No matter what I go through, it's coming home. No matter what my past is, it's coming home. No matter what people say about me, it's coming home. I may not supposed to be here, but I'm here now. It's coming home. All you got to do this week is note this. It might be about a football game. It might be about a football team. It might be about the country. But I'm here to tell you right now, in your past, your hurt, your struggle, your pain, no matter what you're going through today, it's coming home. God's got you. He's going to fix it. He's going to make it better. All you got to do is trust him. Dip seven times and believe. Touch your neighbor and say, it's coming home. Touch your other neighbor and say, it's coming home. I went to India for, I don't really do India. No, man, I've seen a lot. And pretty much everything I've seen was India. But I was at a college in America, and I'm speaking at this college, and this young guy came up to me. He goes, I'm from India. I'm from India. And, you know, cool accent. I'm from India. I love that. I'm like, what's up? You make curry? He's like, yeah, that's good. He goes, I came to ask you. He says, I graduated, and it was like October, November. He graduated from the university in December, and he was going back to India to take over his dad's church. He says, I believe God laid on my heart to ask you to come. I said, to India? He goes, yes. I said, well, he said, but before you answer, let me tell you why. And this is what he told me. Touch your neighbor and say, here it is. Touch your other neighbor and say, here it is. Listen to me. Everybody has a leprosy. Everybody has something that's supposed to keep you from God instead of making you run to God. Everybody has something. Everybody's been kidnapped. Everybody has something in their past that they wish had never happened. A day they wish had never happened. Everybody has something that's happened that's bigger than you, more powerful than you, and it's put you in a position where I don't know what to do. Don't think that I'm... You notice how I'm not saying you all the time. I say us. The only reason this sounds even appealing to anyone is because I'm not talking about something I don't know. I'm talking about something I've been through. And every day when something comes up that I can't handle, you know what I simply do? And it's my new phrase. It's coming home. Reggie, this happened. It's coming home. Reggie, we can't do that. It's coming home. I remember on Valentine's Day when my phone rang and a government office in America said, there's been a shooting. We need you to be on standby. I said, okay. I said, where? They said, Florida. I went, that's my home. He goes, we know. It was midnight, after midnight, and now it's February 15th. I talked to these youth pastors in that town, and I've talked to assistant principals and middle school principals and elementary principals who, they say, if you need help, call this guy. And I've encouraged everybody, and phone rang, and there was a very famous preacher. He said, you up? I said, yeah. He said, I thought you would be. I just want you to know. I was praying for you, and God wanted me to tell you this. You'd get discouraged every time there's a school shooting in America. I speak face to face to 1.5 million public schools to students every year. Every year. I met with a famous secular rapper not too long ago for the first time. He hugged me and said, I've been waiting since ninth grade to meet you. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you came to my school. I'm still alive because you came to my school. You helped me believe in what I'm doing. I said, I never thought. He goes, yeah, bro, you the man. You the man. Now, I'm not telling that for you to clap. I'm telling you that because the only reason I'm the man for him is because I had to believe it's coming home. For for my own past, my own hurt. See, I'm trying to, I got to connect with you. You got to know that this is what you need. If you're at the end of your rope tonight and you're about to throw it in, God don't care about me. God don't love me. If he loved me, this wouldn't have happened. No, baby. That's the wrong way to look at this. You should know God loves you because he let that happen to you. Y'all not there yet, are you? So let me just keep going because I'm almost hungry. And I need some chicken. If y'all want to go, I'm going to Nando's. Hey, I believe, Dan, in your conference. So this week before I leave, I'm going to pay for 5 registrations for 5 random kids, not old people. I don't like old people. They got a job. They can get their own. But I need you to find 5 kids in London who need to be a part, and I want to pay their way. Now, the reason I'm doing that is this. Listen, everybody look at me. I'm not saying that because, I'm going to do that. I ain't got nothing to do with y'all. I ain't even going to be here. But my friend is John Gray, and my friend is Carl Lenz. And I know what they've done to young people in the past who have sit in their ministry, who've heard them preach. It has changed kids' lives. And I don't want to be the preacher who comes, does his thing, and walks away. I want to invest in a kid's future. I want to invest in a kid's future. In this room right now, I have an intern. He's traveling with me. He came to London with me. He's also my nephew. Now, my intern, he asked me, can I be here? I said, yes, you can be my intern. How much money do I need to raise? You don't need to raise no money. Well, how am I going to get? I'm buying your ticket. I bought his ticket to come to London. I buy his ticket everywhere he'll go in the next 2 months with me. Do you know why I do that? Because I'm investing in his life. I'm investing in his future. I'm investing in what God's going to do in him. We got to do that. So look at me. I need somebody to match what I'm doing. I need every kid in every Hillsong youth group in Europe to be able to come to conference. And if I can take care of 5, then there's another person that'll do 5, and another person that'll do 5. And from Stockholm, Sweden, all the way down to Newcastle, to here in London, every kid will be at that conference, and God is going to change the United Kingdom in Europe. Do you believe that? Clap your hands. But it's not just a speech. We got to invest. We got to invest. Y'all hear me? We got to invest. All I got is credit cards, so let me know what I got to give, all right? I don't even know how much is it for a person to go. What? How much? Just 55? I'll do 10. I'll do 10 kids. $55? I thought it was at least 155. Thank God. My wife would kill me. I should probably find out how much before I say stuff like that out loud. Okay, never mind. Hey, where's the band? Psst, come on. They like, when we come out, I said, I'll tell you. You think? Oh, no, they're coming. They're coming. Hey, can we do something crazy? Would it be crazy? Can we end this service like stupid? No, like just like, I mean, it's the last service. I mean, why not? Hey, singers, come on out. Come on out. Singers, come out. Come out. Oh, there you are. You notice every time I see him, he looks more and more like Jesus. You know? Next time he's going to have a white dress with a purple sash. I'm just saying, all right? Cool. Leave my flag. Hey, just leave this. I want to leave it here. I like the flag. Y'all do know that's a cross, right? Hey, can I give you something that's as cool about England that you may not know? Are y'all good?
Are we on?
All right. Okay, it really is. Every major country has an animal. Y'all listen? Russia, bear. America, eagle. You guys, lion. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the countries that are fighting and the lions there. There's no eagle. Because before there was an America, there was you. So it doesn't matter how far my country goes or what my country does. In the end, we will have to go home. Every American comes back to here. To you. You'll never hear an American admit that. You're the original. You fought in the Crusades for Christ. Your flag is the first flag that bears the cross. You are the ones. You are the nation that will be standing in the end. That's why every time I come to Europe, every time I come to the United Kingdom, I pray hard, because I'm preaching to the last country standing with the cross. And it's you. So this sermon, your chant, it's coming home. I know it's about a game, and I know this whole week centers around the game, but this week when you hear that, you're gonna dream something bigger. You're gonna dream something better. You're gonna dream about the situation that you're in and just being still and know that God is God. So today, I'm doing this a little different. Earlier, you sung a song. And I had the privilege about a week and a half ago of being with the band that wrote the song, Hillsong Young and Free in America, on the day that they released their new project. And they did the song. And tonight when you did it, this was the first time all day I've been in the service when this song was played. I didn't even know y'all were doing this song. But I'm like, this sermon and that song is absolutely perfect. With the problem being, it's a fast song. Who ends a sermon like this with a fast song? I'm kind of stupid like that. Because guess what? When that brother came up from that water on the seventh time, and his skin was like that of a young boy, when he walked in his house, I bet he looked at his wife and said, I'm fine. But I bet he hugged that little kidnapped girl and said, you saved my life. And I bet she didn't want to sing a slow song. Naaman didn't want to sing a slow song. They wanted to, like, dude, I was going to die. My skin was falling off. She was like, I was kidnapped. I was taken where I didn't want to go. But now I realize it was done for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to make sure that the presence of God. And watch this. I haven't done this all day. God forgive me. Did you know how this story ends? This warrior proclaims to the prophet, me, my house, my nation. Now we know there is one God, and he is the God of Israel. There is one king, and he is the king of Israel. There is one Lord, and he is the Lord of Israel. All the hurt, all the pain, all the sorrow, all came down to an entire nation falling at the feet of Jesus Christ and God our Father. Don't you know that's what it's about? The world seeing our hurt and seeing us realize we're going to be all right, because it's coming home. God's bringing it home. It's going to be all right.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.